I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. I don't know if it's Thanksgiving or if I'm just confused, but I certainly had a moment of hesitation. So happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you, and thank you for listening. You know, Good Vibrations Radio I may have to go back and start my day over. Good Vibrations Radio is promoted by Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. Now, Radio Monterey is information unfiltered and uncensored by the corporate media, but we're shutting down our doors at midnight December 1st. You'll still be able to go to goodvibrationsradio.com and find out how to connect and listen to the show so you can hear it no matter where you are, as well as pick up the podcast. Magic for Life is also the promoter producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which we just had a couple of weeks ago, October 29th and 30th. Go to rhodapsychicfair.com, sign up, get on the email list so you can find out about the ongoing events throughout the year leading up to our annual event in October next year. Well, it's Thanksgiving Day, and there's so many things to be grateful about. There are so many things all of us want to change in our lives. But as you know, every show, I start with a little day by day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, taking the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And in Day by Day with James Allen, James Allen's words have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month. Because James Allen wants us to know that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts and actions, but our future is not predetermined by those past thoughts and actions. Our future is created by our present thoughts and actions. So for the 24th day of the month, James Allen tells us that problems bring lessons. As a progressive and evolving being, man is where he is that he may learn, that he may grow. And as he learns the spiritual lesson which any circumstance contains for him, it passes away and gives place to other circumstances. I mean, as we know, when we've learned something, as the problem presents itself to us and we found out how to handle it more effectively, it no longer appears to be a problem for us. It's just something we handle. Things are problems for us when we're still learning the most effective way of handling them. And one way we can handle everything going on in our life goes right to the words given us today from the Daily Word put out by Unity, and it just says, I am grateful. As a daily practice, a practice of gratitude is helpful for each and every one of us. One of the things that I do was shared by Reverend Charlotte Tinker right here on this show when she shared her gratitude practice, which was the following phrases to say every day. I say a morning and evening and throughout the course of the day, and it just says, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. When that problem presents itself and you're getting ready to go someplace else with it, just say, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. It helps release the charge and the trigger of that event. And speaking of helping to release, let's move right to our segment for today, because I'm so grateful that she's been able to be with us these last several months, as well as that she's able to be with us today. Joyce Day Muse is an ordained metaphysical minister who has been practicing the ancient art of astrology from modern times for many, many years. Now, she combines an extensive knowledge of the correlation between the planets and human cycles, coupled with her natural rapport, compassion, humor, and understanding of the challenges and opportunities of life. She shares her understanding of astrology for dealing with life's problems with a large following of loyal clients through both phone or Skype calls. She also uses her tarot cards and psychic awareness to answer any concerns or questions. And her greatest pleasure in life is helping people find understanding, clarity, and hope about their current situations, families, and relationships. Now, not all astrologers are created equal, and Joyce Muse will always fulfill your highest expectations with her astrological guidance. So, Joyce is with us the fourth Thursday of every month. So let's listen to Joyce Muse and Your Lucky Stars. Welcome, Joyce.
Hi, Solozar. So nice to talk to you again.
It's so nice to be talked to.
Yes, yes. Life goes on, no matter what.
Well, certainly a startling shift of energies and focus since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, as usual, I blame Pluto. You know, Pluto just takes us to our core and makes us feel, you know, the depth and intensity as extremely as we possibly can. And it has been kind of like an emotional tsunami for a lot of us. But life goes on. Life goes on. But what's happening in the chart of the United States is transiting Pluto is opposing the sun. You know, the country was born on the 4th of July, 1776, which gives our country the sun in Cancer. And the transiting planet Pluto has been opposing that sun. So we're having the experience of what they call like a strong man, like Donald Trump is like, you know, banana republic dictator, or a strong man, which fits in with that Pluto opposite the sun. But my hope is that's preparing us for the Pluto return that's coming up in a few years, where the transiting Pluto returns to the place it was in on July 4th, 1776. Now, we wouldn't have had a Revolutionary War or a Declaration of Independence or a Constitution if we hadn't suffered during the previous Pluto transit. And we felt oppressed, we were overtaxed, we weren't represented, you know, and who knows what other reasons were going on when the U.S. broke free from Great Britain. So this election bringing in, you know, someone like Trump, who's threatening to take away our civil rights and all the progress that's been made in recent decades as far as equality and justice for all races, all sexes, all classes. So it's only with great pressure and intensity that we rise up to revolt against our oppression. So maybe we needed something like this to kind of wake us up and get us, mobilized for resistance and maybe even big change. At the very least, I'm sure the Electoral College is going to be made you know, invalid, or what some of the states are doing, which is promising all electoral votes to the winner of the popular vote, which if that were true, Hillary Clinton would be president now with, she's got as much as 2 million more votes than Donald Trump. So that's my hope. My hope is we're going to rise up and clean up what we've needed to clean up, you know, for many years. I mean, most of us are shocked to find out how bigoted, racist, misogynist, you know, maybe half the people in this country are, that they would be willing to put someone like Trump into office. Now, of course, you know, on election night, I was watching the South Node conjunct Neptune. Mm. And if there was ever a symbol for a Neptunian kind of election, which would be something that was rigged, something that wasn't above board and honest, it would be Neptune on the South Node. So transiting Neptune has just ticked 1 degree, actually the node has moved 1 degree away from Neptune. And, of course, the Sun entered Sagittarius on the 21st, which to me is a great release, or relief from emotional intensity. So now that the Sun's in Sagittarius, hopefully we can use the law. Sagittarius is a symbol of justice and freedom and intellectual energy. So, you know, there is talk of recounting votes in 3 states that would probably switch the Electoral College to Hillary, which would be a blessing. Or, you know, we've got to go through this karmic situation to see how bad it can really get. I mean, it kind of breaks my heart that this reputation for justice and democracy that America's enjoyed for so many years, it seems to be over. I mean, we seem to be, our reputation is just totally downhill in the eyes of the rest of the world. We're not the, you know, bright, sharp, intellectual, progressive country that we thought we were. So we're getting to look at the dark underbelly of America, and so is the rest of the world. Now, you know, things swing back and forth. In astrology, you really see that. You know, there's good times and there's bad times. There's difficult transits going on right now. There's always difficult transits to deal with. But this Pluto-Uranus square that's been going on for the last 5-6 years is still in effect, obviously. And another thing that was going on during the election is transiting Jupiter is sitting on the Saturn of the USA chart. Now, I was taught that means the end of a karmic debt, a burden gets lifted. Well, maybe the election being over is the burden getting lifted. But maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's cleaning up, you know, needing to clean up what's been going on. I hope you can still hear me.
Oh, yeah.
Can you still hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just had a call coming in. I don't know if it was interrupting me.
Oh, no, no, you were fine. Can I ask a question here, by the
sure,
way?
Sure.
So there's two things that struck me. One was when you were talking about going back to, you know, Pluto's being on the Sun of the United States. And immediately before you spoke anything else, that struck me as again, the rebirth of redefining ourselves.
Right.
And of who our self is, what we really are. Because as you were saying, I think it was a shock. And you said this, but a shock to most of us to find out how racist and bigoted we are as a nation.
Right.
I think especially here in California, we might be a little naive about what's going on in the rest of the country because of the virulent support for Donald Trump. And not everyone was racist, of course, but the support was virulent. I mean, I was astonished. And the second thing that struck me is that if the recount were to occur and Hillary Clinton suddenly won the Electoral College and she was voted in, it strikes me that we are still going to go through a period of redefining ourselves as a nation. It's going to be hostile one way or the other for the next several years. It's just a question of where do we come out at the other end.
Right. Right. Well, Pluto is opposite the sun of the USA chart. So it's not a conjunction, it's an opposition, which points to the other. So, you know, the strongman archetype of Pluto is the other.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yes, but it's still a Pluto transit, and there's nothing as powerful as a Pluto transit. But, you know, maybe it was the kind of wake-up call an individual would have if they were going through some big trauma, a death in the family, a divorce, you know, something that makes you stop and re-examine who you thought you were and what you thought life was going to be like. The thing about Donald Trump that is so obvious to an astrologer is the fact that Uranus, the revolutionary, the eccentric, the person who's totally out of the ordinary, is on the sun of Donald Trump.
Mm.
He's a Uranian, which is why we see him saying different things every time he speaks. He doesn't stick to one thing. I mean, he changes his mind as often as, you know, the wind changes direction. And that's Uranus. And in the USA chart, the chart was born with Uranus on the seventh house cusp, which is why there are so many radicals and revolutionaries. And I guess we're just getting to see, you know, the dark side of the moon. You know, the ugly underbelly of the American psyche, which, you know, those of us who do live in bubbles like the whole West Coast or, you know, more liberal places in this country, you know, like to take care of people, you know, then there's this whole other bunch that, you know, resents anything that's liberal. You know, we're not that far past the Jim Crow days where the only thing poor whites had was their feeling of superiority over the blacks.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's still the case. You know, these white supremacists that we see in Washington who are so thrilled with Trump, you know, they're the inheritors of the Civil War that's still kind of being fought. I almost wish they had let the South secede and we had two countries.
I think that's another part of the problem we're facing is what you touched on there, is that... Are you still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hello?
Something's going on. I don't know what's happening.
Do you hear me? Hello?
Oh, okay. I think one of the problems that we're facing that's been going on is that we probably were too kind about the whole issue of the Civil War, of this idea of allowing the South, even with the Confederate flag, to retain symbols that were not representative of their culture. It was representative of their treasonous secession from the United States. And so there's been resentment all these many years about the Civil War, which was demonstrated in the treatment of blacks, which was That's how they manifested it in the actual world. And when civil rights came to the forefront, they just suppressed it. It was underneath the surface, and we thought it was gone, and it never was. Are you still there, Joyce?
Yes, can you hear me? Hello? 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 I'm going to call back.
If you're speaking, I'm not hearing you. I don't know if we've lost you with the call coming in.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, good.
But I agree with what you were saying. This country, we're so big and we're so multicultural and diverse. You know, there is no one way of looking at things. And, you know, part of the shock, I mean, to me, is just seeing how we're viewed from around the world. You know, but this nationalistic reactionary movement isn't just happening in America. You know, it's happening in Europe, too. With, isn't there a British, the new British, I don't know if it's the Prime Minister that's also a right-wing radical, Theresa May?
Yeah, within Britain, yes, within Britain there's a big movement again for nationalism. And you see some of that even going on in France as a reaction to some of the violence they've received. And again, the issue is if I execute violence in the United States, then maybe all Italians are bad. And we're seeing a lot of that reaction throughout the world demonstrated as nationalism.
Right.
A scary time, but I was very hopeful, especially when you put out your word on Sagittarius, the sun in Sagittarius, that allows us to kind of release some of that fear and tension right now and be hopeful.
Right. Sag is ruled by Jupiter, which is an optimistic planet. Generally, Sagittarians are positive, upbeat people. Right now, we also have Mercury and Saturn conjunct in Sagittarius. So maybe we are having to work hard to think through our philosophical perspective on things. And also Venus, the planet of love and beauty, is conjunct Pluto, and together they're squaring Jupiter. So Pluto squaring Jupiter is actually exact on Thanksgiving Day. And Jupiter expansion, Pluto transformation. So it's you really don't want to talk politics around the Thanksgiving table. The Sun will conjunct Saturn on December 10th. So this yearly conjunction has to do with taking stock of our lives. So that's definitely going on already. So Jupiter in Libra squares Pluto in Capricorn exactly on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm.
So it's not an easy day. Jupiter square Pluto is not an easy day. So it would probably be the wise thing to, you know, one woman said on The View this morning to have a room for politics and shut the door and no politics around the turkey, no politics in the kitchen. So, you know, people will have to find their own ways to deal with it. But we're definitely in the time of Sagittarius. The sun's in Sag. We've got the new moon coming up on the 29th in Sag. That could symbolically suggest a new beginning. And, you know, you've got to hope for the best, you know, which is hard at 3 in the morning when you wake up from a dead sleep worrying about Trump, which I know a lot of us are doing. But I was around in the 60s, you know, when we were marching in the streets against the Vietnam War and protesting against Nixon and all of that, if you don't have a large enemy oppressing you, you're not going to get out in the street and march. You know, apparently that's the human condition.
Well, essentially, we have to get to the point where the pain is too much that we take an action.
Right.
And we've been very passive in so many ways, even during the Bush years. We were passive. And we were passive during the Obama years. There was a lot of non-action from a lot of people. And now people really have to take stock of what do they want their future to be? How much are they willing to give away just to act like they have a peaceful life?
Right, right. Well, it felt like during the Obama years that we had, you know, a capable adult in charge.
Well, that's true.
You know, that knew the Constitution and constitutional law and what he could and couldn't do, and he seemed to be able to work around the horrible Senate and House that were so against him. And he still got a lot of good things done, and he raised our reputation that had really fallen around the world. But I just can't imagine why someone would like someone like Trump, because of what we went through in 2008, when the economy just melted all around the world. I mean, what's going to happen with this bozo? You know,
well,
I just see him raiding the coffers as any way that he can. You know, cutting the taxes on the very wealthy.
I just can't
see it working well.
I just will not put up with putting a gold-plated Trump on the White House. I will not put up. But you know, one of it, and in some of what I've read about early discussions about the creating of the Constitution, the Electoral College, et cetera, and so on, that the founders, who actually wouldn't have allowed people like you or me to vote anyway, but the founders who had this idea that the American population was not necessarily an informed group of people. And so that's why they created the structure the way they did. And Alexander Hamilton created his Electoral College so that wiser people could choose if the population chose poorly. But where I'm really leading to on this is I think it leads right up to the present day, that what we saw when we say, when people say Trump had a populist message, here's what that means to me. It means he said simple things that people didn't have to think about, but he said something that different groups of people liked. He told workers in Pennsylvania and Ohio, I'm going to bring jobs back. That's all they heard. They didn't have to hear the rest of the stuff. They understood that he said, I'm going to bring jobs back. That's what they latched onto. If he talked about deporting illegal immigrants and keeping Muslims from coming in, supremacists grabbed right onto that. If he said Hillary was a crook, misogynists grabbed right onto that. He said simple things to a population that chooses to not be informed. And that's what made him so popular. That's my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He said whatever his crowd wanted to hear. And now he's not going to live up to any of those things, hopefully.
Well, he's never lived up to anything in his life. So.
No. And it just makes you wonder why this country wanted a con man as president.
Well, because they wanted to believe what they wanted to believe. I even saw a post recently from someone, I cannot recall who or in what context. Oh, no, it was somebody who called into one of the radio shows that said, the person literally said, well, Donald Trump is somebody who's built himself up from nothing, not like Hillary, who was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. And that's completely opposite.
I know.
But yet this person clearly believes that.
It's hard to comprehend.
That's because you're a thinking, intelligent person there, Joyce.
And also, I came to California the day after Nixon was reelected in 1972. I just gave up on politics.
Yeah.
And a lot that's been going on reminds me of that. I gave up on politics. I left the D.C. area. I came to California. I focused on spiritual development. I forgot about politics for a while. And, you know, then somehow I got re-involved with it. And this election is just reminding me there is a consciousness, there is a life, there is a world outside of politics. And, you know, maybe it's some people's destiny to work through the political system. And maybe for others of us, it's better to sit and meditate and call in as much positive, enlightened energy as we can. Because it's just so discouraging, you know, to live life only in the reality. And you know how media overamps everything? it's just exhausting.
Well, I thought it was the head of CBS News or the head of CBS who made a comment during the campaign that, or might have been even before the primary, the primary, but before the Republican convention, where he had said Donald Trump may be bad for the Republican Party, but he's great for CBS News.
Right.
And it's the same thing here. From a media perspective today, we have very little true independent media that is about reporting. We do have entertainment media, which is the corporate media, which is about trying to pull us in with the stories that are entertaining, whether they're important stories or factually reported, or if everybody's just repeating the same story that someone released.
Right.
But I do think when you talk about coming after the second second Nixon election, in 1968, we recall that we had a Democratic Party that was in complete disarray. And in some ways, even though that was the first Nixon election, in some ways, we had a Democratic Party that went through an identity crisis this year. And it still is going through that. And that tended to lead us into choices that seemed counterintuitive at the time. Electing Nixon seemed like the right choice in 1968, and actually Nixon did a lot of good, except that he was a crook.
Right.
He did a lot of good for the country, because the one thing about Nixon is that he did care about the country.
Right.
The one thing we know about Trump is he cares about Trump.
Right.
No matter what he says, no matter what people have bought into, the question is, as President Obama told him, if he does good for the country, it'll be good for him. He'll be a good president if he does good for the country. The question is, will he choose to do good for the country first before he does good for himself? Either way, we have to be vigilant. And I also agree with what you said, with a caveat. I spoke to Stefania White, who's a beautiful artist. I know you know that. And for other folks,
yeah.
She does fabulous essence portraits and other art. Look her up. Definitely support her work. But Stefania and I were talking at the farmer's market in Monterey. And one of the things we collectively agreed on is that what we need to do is each person needs to continue to do their service in the world, whatever their service is. Trump being president doesn't have to stop you from doing that. So it goes back to what you said. If you're spreading light in what you're doing in the world, where you are, it doesn't matter who's president.
One can hope. So one thing that gives me comfort is I look at Donald Trump's chart, and he's not having a good time. He's got his progressed moon right on his natal Saturn. So he's definitely knows he's in over his head. I mean, maybe he's being maniacally busy, but, you know, it might be part of his, you know, whatever's wrong with him mentally. But his progressed moons on his Saturn, and during the inauguration, transiting Saturn will be on his natal moon opposite his sun. So, you know, he talks a good case, but he's never had to work this hard in his life. You know, this is, you know, above and beyond what he's used to doing. And I just can't help but think he's going to be impeached, have a health crisis, or something's going to take him out. And everybody says, but Pence is worse. Yeah, but Pence isn't a sociopath. You know, he may be a political Luddite, but at least he doesn't make such reckless choices and decisions. I don't know. I just know that it's a dark time for our country.
Yes. But with the Sun in Sagittarius, are there other things we can look forward individually going forward in December that give us individual hope?
Well,
I mean, because clearly, as you said, it's time to maybe disengage from too much political focus.
Yes.
But yet stay engaged enough to stand up for the, I think the key issue is we have to stand up for the issues that matter to us, but not try to fight every flippant issue that comes along, because then we turn the big issues into just another cry of wolf.
Right. Well, I'm encouraged that we have three, and soon the moon will also go into Sagittarius on the new moon on the 29th. So we've got more fire. We've got more upbeat and positive, hopefully optimistic energy. Pluto squaring Jupiter is kind of what's been going on through this election cycle, and we're still dealing with, and will continue to deal with for a while, Jupiter square Pluto. So Jupiter is positive. Pluto is transformative. I mean, somewhere I read that signals the overthrow of leaders, Jupiter square Pluto. Jupiter being king, Pluto being, overthrowing. So, maybe a miracle will happen. I mean, that's one of the things I'm meditating on. Miracles can happen. Things can turn around. But we've got Capricorn planets, Sag planets. Mars will go into Aquarius soon. Oh, no, it did election night. So Mars is now in Aquarius, and it's going to make a nice trine to Jupiter. And that's going to be exact, let me get the right day. Venus will enter Aquarius. So I think it's the 20th. Actually, it's Christmas Day. That's Venus trines Jupiter Christmas Day. So Mars trines Jupiter when? Let me find it. So let me animate it. Okay, so that's coming right up. So it's the 29th as well. The 30th. 29th, it's exact on the 30th. So Mars trine Jupiter will maybe give us a nice boost of enthusiasm. I mean, we really can't let these dark, oppressive moods overwhelm us. Part of that's Venus conjunct Pluto right now, squaring Jupiter. So I don't know. I mean, astrology is a tool. It's a lens through which we can view reality. We're moving towards the sun's square Neptune, also exact on November 30th. So Neptune, I mean, I blamed Pluto for the election, but Neptune conjunct the south node had a lot to do with it too, because Neptune is deception and illusion and manipulation. The south node is past karma. The other thing I've been thinking about current transits and the election is that the U.S. needed to clean up its act. We needed something to happen, so maybe we would stop doing some of the oppressive things that carried on in the name of the United States, you know, in other countries. So, you know, we've got this huge military that takes more than half of our money, and we use it. We use it to be the big man on campus in the world, which is our 10th house Saturn saying, you know, I want to be the boss. I want to be in charge. I want to be in control. And it's in Libra. I want to be looked at as the good guy. Well, that's fine until Pluto squares it. And then this, it's like a rock's been turned over and all the little bugs and snakes and dark, creepy, crawly things are being revealed. So maybe we can clean them up. So my hope is a transformation and a regeneration, not unlike the 1770s, when we had great oppression that we had to overturn in order to create a nation based on more fairness, justice, and equality. And wasn't it Thomas Jefferson who said that the country should be have a revolution periodically, that we shouldn't just let things stay the way that they are, that they need to be transformed and overturned periodically. So maybe this reaction to going back to white supremacy and the KKK and all these horrible white supremacists that are coming out from under that rock, I mean, we needed to see that. We needed to know that. We needed to get out of our bubble of illusion. So here we are. The bubble has popped. You know, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do. Oh, we've got so much work to do. We have so much bigotry and hatred to resolve. And I guess what happens is we don't actually ever resolve that. We hopefully bring up new generations that don't accept it that way or don't see it that way. But so much of the hatred that we see and the white supremacy movement and the KKK is just, it's just vile. And like we've seen on Facebook, there's been quite a few posts is, I still don't understand why the KKK is not designated as a terrorist group.
Right, right.
And part of the reason is that they're white. I'm still going with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking a lot about the Kennedy assassination back in 1963. And I've read a few books about it and how it really was a coup d'etat. The government was overthrown and replaced. And I believe that. I really believe that. And here it is 53 years later, and I think this is another coup d'etat, that the Russians and whoever else colluded with the electorate and the voting machine, you know, placed Donald Trump in the position of presidency. I don't think he's a legitimately elected president. You know, and maybe it'll take another 50 years for all the details of that to come out. But it's not business as usual. This is not a normal election. And assassinating John Kennedy, I mean, there was a lot of racists and bigots that hated him. And a lot of them were in parts of government, you know, the CIA, the mafia, the Cubans, who knows? you know, I mean, supposedly the CIA was quite involved in the assassination of Kennedy. But, you know, that's something I think people my age still haven't gotten over. You know, how our president was just snuffed and nothing ever happened to the people that did it.
Yeah, and the whole event was whitewashed in the Warren Commission report.
Yeah, it was.
So to give validity to what occurred. I think, unfortunately, we're going to see some of that happening over the next several years as well, is that with Republicans in power, because that's the part that flummoxes me more than anything else. Electing Donald Trump for me is one thing. Giving the House and Senate to the Republicans, that's ignorance. I don't see it as any other way. Why would you give it to the people who have been perpetuating the problem, who have been obstructing government's efficiency and effectiveness? Why would you give the power to them? That to me just shows a whole level of ignorance in the electorate as to what was happening. Although it goes back to some of what you said, especially in those contested areas, that there's questions about some of the voting to begin with.
And whoever it was that said it was a white lash, you know, response against our first black president, you know, there's probably a lot to it.
That was Van Jones who said that. He said that on Fox, as a matter of fact, or it might have been CNN. It was CNN, actually. And he took a lot of heat for that, people. But again, I think this is where the white culture is very ignorant of the impact of not being white. No matter how much we may empathize, we still don't know what it's like to not be white and to have people treat you as less than. And it's not that everybody treats you as less than, but it's sufficiently cultural enough in this country that you are treated as less than very often.
Mm-hmm.
So when he made a comment that it's a white lash and then was chastised for it, I believe that he was accurate.
I do too. And there was another article on Facebook recently, the dying donkey kicks the hardest. You know, about the whole reality that we're becoming a more multiracial, multicultural society, and that those that have had the power for the last 400 years are not going to give it up easily. So I kind of feel like that's going on. You know, it's the last gasp of white dominance. Because isn't it in the near future that we're all going to be multiracial? You know,
yeah,
inevitable.
Yeah, originally weren't there were 7 cultures or whatever, and they've said that now it's almost all gone, that we are multiracial, that there's very little that's very pure cultural or pure ethnic, or maybe 7 ethnicities. I don't remember what they call them. But it's hard to find any that are pure anymore.
Right.
And I agree with you. You know, there was something else that somebody posted on Facebook that they were sharing. The person sharing it, for me, was sharing it from a sense of cynicism or sarcasm. But it was a post from somewhere that said, well, if there's black rights or white Muslim rights or this rights or this rights, why can't we have white rights? And it clearly misses the point, again, that I think that I'm hoping the dying embers of the belief of the need to be better than you are by just being a person. You have to be better than that by being the white person who has oppressed people all these centuries. And I'm hoping that this is, as you said, it's kind of the dying embers, that dying donkey kicking the hardest. I really hope for that. And I would like to see the end of this. I'd like to see the end of all of this.
Well, I'm sure by the time the U.S. has its Pluto return, which will be 2022, we have our Pluto return. So it looks like 2022. So that's a little ways away. What is it, 7 years? Yeah.
7 years and two elections. Two presidential
right.
elections, yeah.
Right. And don't you think in 2 years there'll be a mass vote for Democrats in Congress and in the Senate? And another thing that's hopeful, did you see the article that one of the states, I'm not sure which one, but a federal judge said that gerrymandering is illegal?
Wisconsin. Yeah, I saw that. Wisconsin.
Yeah. So if that can kind of spread, and I heard that Obama's, one of his big projects is to do away with the gerrymandering that's making Congress so Republican. And even the Electoral College, it takes away the weight of the vote of people like us in California. Like someone in Wisconsin vote is worth 10 times what a California's vote is worth because of the Electoral College.
Yeah, I saw, it was a private post on my timeline on Facebook of a fellow who's actually a Canadian who asked several questions about the Electoral College. But it interested me that one fellow from Massachusetts said, well, without the Electoral College, it would be mob rule. And I kind of responded to that. And I said, you know, to begin with, the Electoral College was put there because Alexander Hamilton thought the electorate might be too stupid to elect the right person. And the Electoral College was supposed to fix that. But secondly, the Electoral College eliminates the power of our vote.
Right.
I mean, yeah, there may be more people in California and more people in New York than there is in Wisconsin. But the votes are not weighted the same with the Electoral College, just as you said.
Right.
And that doesn't make it more equitable for a Wisconsin voter or a California voter. If California got more electoral votes, it could actually turn the vote the other way, that the Wisconsin voter, even with their electoral votes, has a lesser weight than the California voter.
Right.
One vote. I'm sorry, I cut you off, yeah.
Oh, what I was going to say is there is no other office that we elect that uses the Electoral College. No senator, no governor, no anything that uses the Electoral College. Why do we have one person, one vote for every other office in the country except the president?
And no other democracy uses any form of a construct like an electoral college.
Correct.
It adds complexity where none needs to be there.
Right.
And I did notice in this same thread that I was a part of that there were all these, certainly the Trump supporters especially, because they want to minimize everything any progressive says, because obviously we've never read anything. You know, we don't think, we've never read, I got that. But they were also minimizing the idea, like one said, you know, well, Romney won the popular vote and Obama won the electoral. And I went back and said, no, they didn't. And then he came back to me and said, you need to check your facts, Olazar. And actually, he must have checked his facts because that post disappeared. Because there's only been three times in our nation where the popular vote was not supported by the Electoral College. Certainly that one time, I think it was 1879, mm-hmm. Al Gore in 2000, and Hillary Clinton here in 2016.
Right. Well, it's time for a change.
Yeah. And again, the Electoral College is not functioning as intended. And I'm not damning the Electoral College. It just was supposed to be a safeguard to the popular vote if we were stupid. That's I'm using the term. Wasn't Alexander Hamilton's term, but it's mine.
Right.
But as you said, it pretty much doesn't make every vote equal. It makes them unequal.
Very, very.
And it also doesn't account for the minority. You know, going back to the early days of our country, right after the Constitution was put in place, as you may know, the vice president was not on the ticket with the president. The vice president was who got the next highest set of votes. So the president was the highest. The vice president was. So you could always have these mix of parties and ideals and intentions. So it's only later that we turned it into this package deal.
Right. Big mistake.
Yeah, it sure was. Well, Joyce, you have big plans for Thanksgiving?
Well, every Thanksgiving, Peter and I join a group of friends that we all worked at Tilly's together 30, 40 years ago. And we have a big food feast and catch up, and it's like the old hippie days. It's wonderful. So we'll be doing that.
Excellent.
And then, yeah.
So does everybody contribute a dish, like you break out the dishes, or?
Yeah, everybody brings some food, but the host, she owns a New Age food developing company. So she always has tons of turkey and stuffing and bread and pies. And so we just get to bring whatever yummy thing we want. And Peter and I have a tradition. I had a friend, a girlfriend, who her secret potluck dish was Moroccan carrots. And she would never share the recipe with anybody. And then when she knew she was dying, she wrote it out in calligraphy and gave us each a copy. So we make our Moroccan carrots.
All right.
That are really delicious. And I thought that was such a good thing, because every year when we make them, we think of her. You know, she's there in the kitchen with us. So having a favorite recipe to pass on is such a good idea.
And hopefully you're having real turkey and not tofurkey.
We're having real turkey, unfortunately. So I hope you have a good Thanksgiving planned, Salazar.
I will. I'm going with a group up to Sanderling's at Seascape Resort, and they have this tremendously decadent buffet.
Oh, good.
And we'll sit outside by the cliffs and the ocean and indulge.
Oh, Seascape is beautiful.
Yeah. And we're having great weather tomorrow, so.
That's a plus.
I have something to be grateful for, although, as I know, no politics.
Right.
Well, Joyce, go ahead.
Unless you're with like-minded people.
Well, hard to say.
Hard to know.
I don't profess anymore to understand anyone's mind. It's a terrible thing to say.
I know.
So. Well, thank you once again for joining. I really, truly appreciate it. I love getting the time together with you and hearing what's coming up and having the conversation. So I so appreciate it. I'm grateful for you and Peter, and many blessings through this Thanksgiving and holiday season. And I hope your meditation and light will help shift what we need to shift going forward.
Well, thanks for always inspiring me, Salazar.
Well, thank you. So I want to remind folks that we'll be back live on Tuesday with Go With The Flow and Kirilani. And as we close out today, I have to go to my new favorite, Hallelujah, by Pentatonix, the a cappella group, for all of us to have something to give thanks for on this Thanksgiving Day.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this. The the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Oh.